We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What up, listener? We wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this Blue Wire podcast. Be sure to show your support to this pod by subscribing and dropping a 5-star review on iTunes, a follow on Spotify, or the appropriate dApp for any other platform you might be listening on. And if you're enjoying this show, chances are you'll like one of our 75 other sports podcasts. Find more shows you'll love at BlueWirePods.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway, lays it in! Zach LaVine!
Crossover, Lowry,
get up or get out the way, Trey Young.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're brought to you by Bet Online. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. I'm joined, as always, by Jason Pat. We're talking about a Bulls team that has lost three in a row, losing at Indiana, at Brooklyn, at Toronto. No surprises in any of that whatsoever, though. That Pacers game sure was close. The Bulls could have won that one. They did not. They fall to 19-33 on the season right now. Still, magically hanging with the number nine seed at the moment. They're in the nine seed. They're four games behind the Orlando Magic at the time of us recording this. So, Bulls not totally buried in their playoff hopes, but oh my God, has this been a bad season, Jason? It gets worse and worse every week. It happened again this week with Chris Dunn getting hurt on the first play of the game against the Brooklyn Nets. I believe they said he has an MCL sprain, and we're still awaiting the MRI results on that one. But, add another Bulls player to the injury pile. Seems like we talk about a different guy getting hurt every year, or every week, I should say. We did it with Markkanen last week. Just another tough week for the Bulls, obviously. And we are going to get into the trade deadline, and we're going to talk about, everything surrounding the Bulls and the trade deadline in this podcast. But just thoughts on this week, Jason, before we get into that.
Yeah, so they had the nice win against the Spurs. They were down double digits in the fourth quarter. They came back, and then they played a really good game against the Pacers. They should have won that game. They were up 7 with, 4:11 to go. I think they went up 7. Tomas Satoransky hit a shot to go up 7. They promptly did not score the rest of regulation. Zach LaVine really struggled down the stretch. The offense just went into the hole. Victor Oladipo had a huge shot. That was his return game. He's been really bad in his return, but he hit this huge shot, huge three-pointer to tie the game. Zach LaVine had a chance to win. The refs missed a call. The two-minute report confirmed it, but, it'll happen. The Bulls have been beneficiaries of some calls late as well in a game. That Wizards game comes to mind when they got maybe a questionable call to go their way at the end of a game, whatever. They should not have been in the position anyways. They lose that game. They lose it in overtime. Brutal loss then. And then, the next couple games, they just got blown out. You mentioned that Chris Dunn injury in the Nets game right after that. Now, I don't know if it necessarily would have mattered, but Chris Dunn goes down in the first play of the game, and then Kyrie Irving goes and puts up 54 on him. Just absolutely unstoppable. Just magical Kyrie, even though Kyrie also just got hurt. So another possible break for the Bulls. I don't want to say that much break because they've had all their injuries, but Kyrie Irving down again. He's got a knee injury of his own. I don't know if he's going to miss much time, and the Nets they beat the Suns' ass tonight to make it, I think they're 4.5 ahead of the Bulls now. But yeah, that game was a blowout. And then against the Raptors, Super Bowl Sunday, the Bulls were actually competitive for the first half. They won the first half. They were up 63-60. They made 11 three-pointers. They then got outscored by 30 points in the second half. Just, I mean, totally predictable. Once the Raptors started focusing, and the Bulls kind of came back to earth with their shooting, Terrence Davis came off the bench, hit like six threes, 31 points. Just total domination by the Raptors, who are 36-14 after 50 games after losing Kawhi and dealing with a bunch of injuries of their own. Just, I want to shout out to the Raptors. There was that stretch where the Bulls beat the Raptors' ass all the time, and Jimmy Butler owned the Raptors. Now the Raptors have won 12 straight against the Bulls. Just great organization, the defending champs. Shout out to them. We also had another Jim Boylan moment at the end of this this Raptors game with just over a minute to go. Bulls down 25. Jim Boylan calls a timeout. The cameras caught Zach LaVine just kind of staring off into space on the bench. He's like, obviously really, really frustrated with where this team is at right now. Probably frustrated that he didn't make the All-Star game. And then he just kind of goes, why? You see a mouth, why? Why did we call this timeout? The Raptors announcers were super pissed. Boylan explained it away like, oh, you know, I got guys to coach out there. I got G League guys. Like, I'm going to call a play here. I mean, it's just another in the long line of just Boylan goofy stuff. It happens like again. It happens like every week. We literally talk about something goofy Boylan does every week. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, 19-33. The Bulls do not play another game before the trade deadline. The trade deadline is Thursday. The Bulls have Tuesday and Wednesday off before they play Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. They welcome him in after the trade deadline on Thursday night. So a couple of days here, as Bulls fans, we're just kind of focused on the trade deadline here. And yeah, 19-33. Before we get into the trade deadline, which we'll talk about that real quick here, I do want to give a shout out to Zach LaVine. While he did not make the All-Star game, he did not get voted in as a reserve. It looks like he will be doing the three-point contest. That was confirmed today. Shams and Casey both reported that. It does not look like he's going to do the dunk contest, which is kind of a bummer because Aaron Gordon's going to be in it. I feel like everybody would want to see the LaVine and Gordon rematch. I know there's four guys. I think it's Aaron Gordon, Dwight Howard, Derek Jones Jr., and Pat Connaughton of the 44-inch vertical. Guy's got some pretty sick hops. So that's the decent group. I think everybody, with the All-Star game being in Chicago, with the Zach LaVine possibility of the Gordon rematch, I feel like people wanted to see that. Maybe there'll be he'll still somehow show up, but it looks like for now he might just be doing the three-point contest. No one's ever actually won both a slam dunk contest and a three-point contest, so Zach LaVine could do that. So I guess we'll be rooting for him. That is the only, I think right now he's the only representation of Bulls All-Star weekend right now, because Wendell Carter Jr. made the Rising Stars game, but he's not playing, and Zion Williamson's taken a spot as an injury replacement. Carter will not be back until after the All-Star break with his injury. Kobe White did not make the Rising Stars Challenge, and when you look at the format, the World versus Team USA thing, it's rookies and sophomores, totally understandable. He just hasn't been that good outside of a few big games. Obviously, I mentioned Zach didn't make the All-Star game, which also totally understandable. I guess that did come out last week, that Zach did not make the All-Star game. We hadn't gotten able to talk really about that. And it kind of played out how we expected it to, with like just winning guys on winning teams. I know some guys, we saw like Bradley Beal and I think who else was it? Devin Booker kind of just went crazy. We saw a few other guys go crazy for Rising Star snubs too. Zach was really mature about it. He understands since the Bulls aren't winning that he's not going to get, it's harder to get in the All-Star game. The coaches especially, they value winning, and that's what they voted for. He could still be voted in as a replacement. But we'll see about that. I guess before we get into the trade line stuff, Ricky, any thoughts about the All-Star voting, the three-point contest, dunk contest, any of that kind of stuff?
I think that Zach's not doing the dunk contest because he doesn't have anything to prove as a dunker. Yeah. I think like when you reach a certain level to the point where either Zach is currently at or the point where Zach is trying to get to, doing the dunk contest is a little bit demeaning. And, you know, there's a reason why Dwight needed to have his star, I think, fall back a little bit before he started doing it. Now he's trying to rebuild his reputation. I'm not going to get upset about Zach LaVine not doing the dunk contest. Like, I think it's ridiculous that some people are getting fired up about that. It's cool he's doing the three-point contest. And I think that he could very easily win that.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be nice. Has anyone ever won both of those contests in their career?
Yeah, it's not just like the same year thing. No one has ever won, just like had a career like where they've won both. I looked it up, and he had brought that up earlier this year when he was kind of talking about it. It seemed like he had been leaning towards doing this. Like, if he would have made the All-Star game, it sounds like maybe he would have done the dunk contest as well. But since he didn't make the game itself, just kind of do the 3-point contest and make some history.
He was like holding it over everyone in the selection process. They're like, well, I know everyone wants to see me in the dunk contest, so I guess you better make me an all-star. I love the bravado of that, but didn't quite work out for him. It's been a trash bowl season, and quite frankly, like, none of their players deserved any sort of recognition, right? Like, LaVine didn't deserve to be an all-star. Kobe White didn't deserve to play in the rookies versus sophomore game. I'm glad that Zach at least got in the 3-point contest. I'm going to be covering the All-Star game, which has always been like a career goal of mine. I've always wanted to cover the All-Star game, finally getting the opportunity to do it this year. Unfortunately, I think that it's probably going to be one big memorial to Kobe, which is absolutely fitting, but you know, that is going to suck a lot of the fun out of it. I think instead it's going to be heartfelt, and there'll be some really emotional moments, and the NBA has, you know, done a great job, I think, honoring Kobe since him and his 13-year-old daughter passed. So it's going to be probably like a heavy atmosphere I'm expecting at the All-Star game. I don't think it's going to be as silly as it normally is, just because of the Kobe tribute, so we'll see. But Zach, to me, didn't really deserve to be an all-star, so I'm not going to get too upset about it. Jason, before we get into the trade deadline portion of this podcast, we got to talk about Chandler Hutchison.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on the Hutch bandwagon. So why not, right? Like, I tweeted this. I had been thinking about tweeting it for a while, but wanted to, like, you know, temper my take a little bit. The Bulls have nothing to lose by playing Chandler Hutchison 30 minutes a game, right? Like, the season's definitely over. They don't have any wings. So if there's, and he's under team control for the next 2 years. So you might as well just see what you have in this guy, because when they've played him in January, he's actually put together some pretty impressive moments. And he had his biggest game against Indianapolis. That game they almost won on Wednesday. He put up 21 points on 10 of 14 shooting from the field. Contributed, you know, a little bit across the board in the other categories. I'm not saying that I think Chandler Hutchison is good. I'm saying that he's the only guy on the team that I'm even really interested in watching at this point. And I kind of like the way he's been playing lately. I think that he's really been attacking the basket with a head of steam. He's obviously very good in transition. One thing that jumps out to me that I didn't fully realize before this month is just how good his body control is. He had some great finishes at the basket in that game against Indy, where he was, like, you know, contorting himself in the air, still finishing through contact, absorbing the contact while airborne. Those are not necessarily things that we should take for granted. And I think, you know, for a Bulls team that desperately needs a young guy to get excited about, desperately needs a wing, I want to try to talk myself into Chandler Hutchison. I don't think he's definitely trash. I think that, you know, if he could even shoot a little bit better, he would almost definitely be a solid rotation guy. That is going to be the one thing that's going to hold him back a bit. But, you know, you look at his numbers across the board, he has a 55.6% true shooting percentage. That is perfectly average for an NBA scorer. So that's pretty solid. I'm happy that he's already scoring at an NBA average level. He's really getting to the foul line a lot. Now, he can't make a free throw, but he has a 47% free throw rate, which is really interesting. Unfortunately, he's only making 63% of his free throws, only made 60% last year. So, you know, the shooting is an issue, not just from three-point range, but also at the foul line. And his steal rate's 2.7%, which is really good. Typically, anything above 2%, and especially anything above 2.5%, is awesome. So, now, ultimately, what's he going to be? Like, a low-usage offensive player, someone who can't really shoot and is going to be limited by that for sure. But I think offensively, he still brings some value just by being able to attack the basket. Defensively, he's going to give you some length and someone who can rebound a little bit. You look at, you know, his Raptor, which is a new stat by 538 this season. He's one of the few Bulls that actually has a positive Raptor rating so far this year. I'm looking at his Raptor War, which is slightly different. But anyways, this says he's been a +1 on defense, which is solid, and a -2 on offense. I think the lack of foul shooting really sort of holds him back there, and also the three-point shooting. So far on the season, he is only shooting 32% on 31 three-pointers, so that's definitely going to be the swing skill for him. But I want to see him play. I want to see him play minimum 30 minutes a night or more. I want to see him get minutes at the four. I want to see him get minutes at the three. And I want to see how everyone else looks around him, right? Because this whole season, after Otto went down, the Bulls have not had a small forward. They've been playing Chris Dunn at small forward for like the last 2 months. That's just, you know, not anything that is going to help you make a determination on the future of the team. Dunn, if they even bring him back, I don't think we're going to be seeing three-guard lineups going forward. And if we are after this year, the Bulls are going to continue to be absolute trash. So let me see what Hutchison's got. I've liked what he's shown during some limited minutes in January, and he's one guy who I can actually start to talk myself into maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I wrote a quick thing on Forbes about him just kind of breaking out, if you want to call it, because he obviously struggled with injuries his first 2 years, including this year. He was basically just kind of bad last year when he played as a rookie, older rookie. Wasn't very good. Just he meant the jumper is broken. I don't know if it's ever going to be good. He's got an incredibly slow release. It just looks terrible. He basically just can't score outside the paint. But he has, like you mentioned, he's been super aggressive. The finishing's been a lot better. You mentioned getting to the free throw line. Obviously, it'd be nice to bring that free throw percentage up. Obviously, he's got the defensive versatility where he can guard wings. He can do a respectable job against power forwards as long as they're not like too big. I don't think we should ever expect like a lot out of Chandler Hutchison, but given that basically before these last few weeks he looked like a total bust after they made that promise to him to take him at 22 in 2018, the fact that he actually might be like at least a useful role player, I mean that's definitely a win, because I have not been a fan. There hasn't been much to be a fan about. Like, he was awful in summer league too, and like I said, he got off to a tough start this year with more injuries, but now that he's finishing, he's playing more aggressive, clearly more confident, driving to the basket and finishing strong. It's been nice to see at least to be a useful role player, a decent young player. And like you said, with Chris Dunn now out, I mean, who knows how long he's going to be out. If it is a sprained MCL, I feel like that's usually like a month or so, like probably like four. I feel like it's like usually like a 4 to 6 week injury. I guess we'll see once they do more tests and announce that. But yeah, I mean, with Dunn out now and the lack of wing depth in general on this team, play Chandler Hutchison a ton. Because like you said, you could also play him as a small ball four, give him all those minutes. At this point, with the Bulls at 19-33, it's especially, again, we'll talk about the trade down in a little bit here. Like if they trade Thad Young, that could open up more minutes for Hutch as well at the four. And Lowry's still out for a while. There's going to be a time to play these a guy like Hutch. Maybe they'll play Kobe White a bit more. We'll see. I totally agree with that. Before we talk about this trade deadline, let's take a quick word from our new sponsor, Bet Online. Mr. Chance, bet on the Super Bowl, the Chiefs and the Niners game? Fear not, listener. Blue Wire is excited to be partnering with Bet Online to help you win big no matter the time of year. We got March Madness coming up, the Masters, and Major League Opening Day right around the corner. BetOnline has you covered for all your latest news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Plus, it's never too early to lay down your future bet for the Super Bowl in 2021. So head over to betonline.ag and use our promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. We signed up, it's super easy, and if you're already making wagers, it's a fantastic way to support this podcast. Again, that's promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, and when you sign up at betonline.ag. So bring your best bets home with BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we're back. Cash considerations, obviously brought to you by BetOnline, our great new sponsor. Let's talk trade deadline. So trade deadline is Thursday, as we've mentioned. It's been kind of quiet out there for the Bulls. I did a kind of a trade deadline primer for the Bulls over at Forbes. You can check that out. It's just, like I said, it's been kind of quiet. The rumors, there's just really haven't been many rumors. We know there was that Thad Young thing a while ago about how the Clippers were interested, and apparently they had sent scouts to Bulls games. There was a Chris Dunn Clippers rumor, but again, now with Chris Dunn and this injury being out, like, I don't see how you're going to trade a guy in the last year of his contract for a guy who's hurt. We can talk a bit more about that, but like today there was a rumor, I don't even call it a rumor, like Zach Lowe mentioned on his podcast that like good quote unquote good teams are calling about and asking about Zach LaVine, and he's basically just assuming that the Bulls are basically hanging up on them and aren't that interested in a trade. I guess just right off the bat here, like, do you think the Bulls are going to make any moves? Like, again, they're 19-33. They probably should be selling. They're four games out of the playoffs. They got a brutal schedule. After the All-Star break, they have a stretch of easy games. After that, basically getting into March and April, it's all playoff teams, basically. I mean, there's just almost no way they make the playoffs here. They probably should be selling. What do you think they should do? Like, do you, is there any big moves you think they'll make? Do you think they'll just be small stuff? Do you think they'll sand pat? What do you think?
I think that there's a chance they would sell, because if we know something about the Bulls trade history, it's that they're most likely to do it when they're motivated by shedding salary. So I think that, you know, maybe sort of kind of being in the mix for the eighth seed would prevent them from doing it. But man, if you ask me, I would sell everyone. I don't care. They should trade Thad Young, trade Satoransky. Anyone on this team, I think, that you don't view as a core piece, you should deal. And I'd be listening on offers for Markkanen and LaVine, too. Like, you know, if someone really wants one of those guys, make me an offer I can't turn down. So to me, you know, you don't usually hear a lot of buzz about the Bulls before they make a trade. I don't think we heard any rumors about the Otto Porter deal before that went down last year. So just because it's been quiet on that front doesn't mean that something is definitely not going to happen. It really just comes back to how the Bulls view themselves this season. Do they view themselves as being in the hunt for a playoff spot, or do they correctly view the season as a massive failure, in one that like everyone should be really embarrassed by? Do Garpacks, are they like acting as if they're going to be, you know, the front office moving forward? Are they nervous at all about losing their job? If that's the case, maybe they don't want to sell off Satoransky and Thad Young and some of the other veterans because they don't want the team to go, like, you know, with three wins for the rest of the way. So there's a lot of different things at play here. I would love to see them sell, especially Satoransky and Thad Young. I think that, you know, those are no-brainer moves. Gets the young guys some minutes. I just don't see a scenario in which the Bulls are even competing next year. Like, maybe it happens. I don't know. I don't really see what the move would be to make them compete next year outside of, like, obviously hiring a really good coach and going from the worst coach in the NBA to one that's perhaps above average. That would help. I would like to see them sell, though. How do you feel?
Oh yeah, definitely. So I've been banging the drum for the last week or so, especially with this 3-game losing streak going into the deadline, even with Kyrie getting hurt. Like, I mean, there's just no reason to try to, like, do anything else. Like, you're not, I can't imagine, like the last thing they should do is, like, try to trade, like, draft picks to, like, make a playoff push. Like, unless you're, like, trading for, like, a legit long-term star, like, keep your draft picks and try to get assets. Like, at this point, no point in trying to make some goofy trade for, like, an ill-fated playoff push this year. I don't know if I'm quite as negative about next year, but then again, I've tried to buy into this team the last couple of years, and it's bitten me right in the ass. Like, I don't even know what to think about next year at this point. But yeah, absolutely sell. Thad Young is the obvious name. He's a veteran. He was complaining about playing time earlier. He's made some comments about how his play style this year has been totally different, and how it's kind of not what he was expecting, not really what they sold him on. Who knows what they actually told him? But, like, it sure seems like Thad Young almost, basically from that first report about him not even playing that much, that the writing might be on the wall for him. Obviously, Lowry's out right now. Like, I don't know if they're going to use that as an excuse to, oh, we need to keep Thad Young around to, like, start at the four. Like, who cares, man? Like, start Chandler Hutchinson at the four for all I care. Try to get something for Thad Young. I guess, like, I don't know. He has been playing better lately, because before the last couple weeks, kind of before he started playing more with Lowry out, he'd been having a terrible season. I think part of that is because, like, he's been playing a role he's not used to, more of like a perimeter guy. I think they've kind of gotten back more to doing some stuff that he's more better at, just kind of around the basket and kind of banging down low. But I mean, if you looked at his shooting numbers, like, before this month, or before January, basically, he was awful. He was like an under 40% shooter, which is ridiculous for him. He's been a pretty semi-efficient guy, always shooting well around the basket, and he was just not that good. So, like, maybe he's built his value back up a bit more now. Like, I feel like he'd definitely be a lot more valuable on a winning team. I know, again, the Clippers have been mentioned. I mean, you look at the Clippers roster, like, man, I mean, it'd be something maybe like Mo Harkless and, like, their late first-round pick, or they have, I mean, if you're interested in, like, Jerome Robinson, I guess. Like, I don't think they're going to trade, like, Shamet, however you say his name. Like, I don't think they would trade him for Thad Young. So, like, I don't know what you're getting there. I haven't really seen any other teams, like, really out there, like, who could use, what, like, a backup power forward, just a veteran four. Like, do you have anybody else you think would be interested in Thad Young?
I do feel like he could help any contender, basically, right? Like, I don't really know what the Bulls could get in return for him. I would take, for sure, a late first-round pick. And, yeah, this is a bad draft, But when we're like judging drafts, we typically judge them by how strong they are at the top. I think like at the end, like in this draft, the 28th pick could very feasibly be just as good as the second pick or better. You know, we see that happen all the time. You look at the 2013 draft, which this draft is getting compared to a lot. You had Gobert in the 20s. You had Giannis at 15. You had Anthony Bennett at number one. So I would love to get, you know, a top 40 pick. I think that why not? You know, in terms of Thad Young, how is he really helping you moving forward? Like,
right.
you signed him to try to make a playoff run. You somehow undercut yourself by deciding to hold on to the worst coach in the NBA, both at the start of the season and through the entire year. So what has Thad Young really given you at this point? I would deal him, get his cap money off the books. You know, let Hutchison get some more minutes. Let some other young guys take up those spots. I would do the same thing with Satoransky, even though I do really enjoy watching Satoransky. And I think that, you know, when he's been empowered a little bit, he has been better. With that being said, I don't really have like a young guy out there who I think the Bulls should target. There's reclamation projects all around the league, though. I mean, look what Ben McLemore is doing for the Rockets this year. He was someone who had draft bust basically stamped on his forehead. And now he's been a quality part of their 8-man rotation for him this year. So I think that any sort of reclamation project you can get your hands on is probably worth a shot. And I would love to get a pick that's, you know, within the top 40 or so of this draft.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't trade Thad like just to trade. Like, I don't know. I want to trade him for a bad return necessarily, because I think you could trade him
in the offseason.
Or in the offseason as well. Like, he's under contract. He's got two full years, and then his third year is like partially guaranteed, I think, for like $6 million or something. So like, they don't necessarily have to trade him. Like, if you're getting shitty offers, like, don't just trade Thad Young. Just trade Thad Young. But I feel like somebody would at least give something of decent value. Like, I think he's better than what he's shown this season. Like, if somebody who could use him better, I think he has value on a contender as a guy off the bench bringing that leadership. Definitely, I'd be more inclined to keep Satoransky. Obviously, totally fine shopping if you want to do it. He's still relatively young. What is he, 27, 28? Like, I think moving forward, he could probably be a solid backup swing guard, even play some three. Like, I think he has, like, one of the highest on-court net ratings on the Bulls. So, like, while he obviously doesn't impress you, you look at his box score numbers and he's just kind of like, whatever. But he does a lot of things, decently well. Like, he's pretty smart as a player. He's a good passer. He throws really good lobs. So, like, I'd be fine keeping him around as, like, moving forward as, like, a backup player. Like, I guess he probably shouldn't be the starter next year. But he's all right. Again, though, like, if somebody offers up a first-round pick for him, sure, absolutely take it. I don't know if anybody will do that or if they're even looking at anything like that. But, yeah, sure. Why not? I guess, again, other trade candidates. Obviously, Denzel Valentine he's been out of the rotation. He's playing a bit more now because of these injuries, especially with Kristen not hurt. He had the one really good game against the Spurs last week. He basically kind of kept them alive. I think he had like 16 points at 4 or 5 threes. When the Bulls went down, they were going down big in the third, early in the fourth quarter. He hit like 3 three-pointers across a few minutes and kept the Bulls in it, and they went on a big run. But then he's been bad since then. He's been in and out of the rotation. Boylan clearly does not like him. He'll do anything basically not to play him. If he basically only plays if he absolutely has to, and he's running out of bodies. I mean, you're not going to get really anything for Denzel Valentine, but I think you got to get something. They obviously don't want him around long term. Like, you're probably almost certainly not going to re-sign him. Like, give me a second round pick. I've brought up the Sixers multiple times too. The Sixers, by the way, are kind of a complete mess right now. They just got their ass beat again by Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler, huge revenge game. 38 points in 29 minutes as the Heat won by like 30 points. The Sixers are an absolutely terrible road team. They're something like 22-2 at home and then like 9-18 on the road. It's kind of a mess. Their bench really isn't anything special. They could use the shooting, and I'm pretty sure they have a million second round picks built up from the process era. Give me a second round pick for Denzel Valentine and be done with it. What do you think?
For sure. I'm shipping that trade immediately if they can get a second rounder for Denzel. And I wouldn't put it past Denzel to kind of right the ship of his career as he goes on with a different organization.
Yeah.
He needs a change of scenery worse than just about any fringe NBA player in the league right now. It's not happening for him with the Bulls. So, if they get a second round pick for it, I'd definitely take it.
Yeah, I absolutely. Anything for him, it's fine. He's not coming back. He's going to be a restricted free agent. He does have these moments where he where he shoots well. He's a decent playmaker. Like, he's got some NBA skills. Clearly, like you said, needs a new start. Chris Dunn would have been, I think, a really interesting trade candidate, given he has rehabilitated his value this season. I don't even think it's arguable. He's been one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA this year. When you look at the steal numbers, when you look at the deflections and all those kind of hustle stats, he's towards the top of that all. Obviously, his offense is still a work in progress, but he's actually ticked up his efficiency a little bit this season, despite being absolute trash from three and really still not getting the line much, because he's finishing much better this season. His two-point percentage is up from like 46% last year to like 53-54% this year, because he's finishing much better. So he's not a complete waste on offense. Still, I would still consider him a one-way player. He's a restricted free agent coming up this season. They obviously tried to trade him last offseason, didn't go anywhere, and he's kind of come back and bought into his role. He's done as best as he could as the starting small forward, like I said, elite defender. But now this knee injury is totally screws up possibly any trade plans. Again, like, we don't know the exact results of this or how the timetable for how he's going to come back. But again, I would assume this is something that's going to keep him out for several weeks, maybe up to a month, maybe longer than that. It looked really bad. In first play of that game, Thad Young like rolled into his knee. The vibe in the locker room, based on the articles that were written from Casey Johnson, seemed like it was really down. The way Zach was talking about it, the way Boylan was talking about it, clearly they're expecting him to miss time. So now, like, his trade goes from like interesting to probably nothing, right? Like, no one's going to trade for an injured Chris Dunn in the final year of his contract, right? And like, the Bulls would just have to hope that maybe he's out for like a week or two, and somebody would still give up something. But he's gone from a guy who is probably like, maybe you could get a first for him, to probably nothing now.
Yeah, fully agree.
So I guess looking at the offseason, like, what kind of contract is Chris Dunn going to get? Like, what would you be willing to give him, like, 3 years? Like, I don't want to say the Marcus Smart deal, but like three or four years at like $10 million a year? Like, are you willing to commit to that kind of thing for Chris Dunn?
Not for the Bulls. It doesn't do anything for him, because at the end of the day, is he a starter? I don't think he can be a starter as a point guard, not on this team at least. I do think he could potentially help a good team as like a role player off the bench, a seventh, eighth man. For the Bulls, like, giving a guy who's not going to be a starter $10 million a year accomplishes absolutely nothing. That would be horrible, in my opinion. And that's why I really thought the Bulls' best move would be trading Dunn. I always said since the beginning of the season that I think Elfrid Payton's contract is going to be like, you know, the low end of the bar for Dunn's next deal. He got 2 years, $16 million, $8 million per. So, you know, basically, if you're going to totally rebuild a team, the ideal way you want your contracts arranged are like max guys and then guys on low salaries who are like outperforming them. I just don't see Dunn outperforming a $10 million salary, given the fact that he's so limited offensively. I really like watching Chris Dunn. I think that this season he's been one of the few things to feel good about on the team, but I don't see him being a starter. And because of that, I would not pay him $10 million a year or $8 million a year or any sort of significant chunk of cap space when, you know, ultimately you just don't know what you have with this Bulls team yet. And I don't think there's any point in locking yourself into, you know, 4 years of him.
Right. It just seems like a situation where if the Bulls were actually good and like they had like a legitimate core and they were like a legitimate playoff team, possible contender, yeah, that's a valuable guy. That's a going rate for like a solid bench guy. But when you can't just keep committing to a core that's not any good. So like, especially with Lowry extension possibly coming up, and like, and I mean, you already have Zach on a long-term deal. Like, you have to make decisions about this core. And like you said, he's probably would be better on a team if the Bulls were good with a clear direction, that he's worth keeping around. But can you commit to that when they're at where they're at? Probably not. Looking past those guys, like I said, I think if the Bulls do make a trade, like I said, I feel like it'll be maybe Thad and Denzel. Like I said, I don't think Dunn's going to get traded now. Let's look past that and look at some of the main guys on this roster. Speaking of this core, Otto Porter Jr. has been hurt all year. Who knows when he's coming back? He's doing some other, I guess, some work on the court now. I think he was shooting around recently, but I mean, who the hell knows at this point? He's got a player option worth like $28 million. I would see if you can get possibly something for him. But again, this injury, like, who knows what's gonna happen there? Like, do you think any, like, I guess another team would have to give medical. It's like, what would you even envision a team like giving up for Otto Porter Jr.? Like, I just don't even know. I think the Bulls should sniff around and see if there's anything out there, because there's always the possibility that he opts into this player option next year. I don't know if the Bulls necessarily want that. Like I said, I think he's a good player. We argued that he was basically the Bulls' best player coming into the season, but the injury thing has been there. He started the year kind of slow. What is your take on Otto Porter Jr. here at the deadline, moving into the future with the Bulls?
He's not going to get traded while he's hurt, right? Like, even the Bulls didn't know what his injury was
right.
for a month and a half. I see no scenario in which they trade him while he's hurt or that someone wants to trade for him while he's hurt. And I think that he's going to pick up the option in the summer. And, you know, at that point, I think that perhaps he could be attractive on an expiring deal. But, you know, man, now we're talking about, like, trading Otto Porter for anything you could get. It's like the Bulls have just made no progress in this rebuild. As much as they want to try to spin it, they're in one of the worst situations of any team in the entire league. I mean, there's a few other teams that are, like, in the mix for that, but they are going nowhere, man. And, yeah, I just don't see any scenario in which he gets traded in season.
And that's a bummer, too, because we praised the Porter trade. Again, we talked about how he was arguably their best player, and it just has totally backfired, like almost everything Bulls-related these days. It's brutal. I guess moving past him, then we have the actual like core, I guess. We're not going to include Coby White. Coby White's not getting traded, obviously. We got Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr. You mentioned that you think the Bulls should look at possible LaVine, Markkanen trades. I'm pretty sure Wendell is probably close. He's not untouchable. Nobody is untouchable on this roster, but he's also hurt right now. Obviously, that doesn't mean as much because he's a young guy under contract, but I would assume Wendell Carter Jr. is probably safe. You're not trading him unless you're getting a legit stud back. So that brings us to LaVine and Lowry. We've kind of talked briefly about what could you possibly get for like Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen. I mentioned the Zach Lowe, like, quote unquote rumor at the top of this podcast, and how like he basically said good teams, whatever you want to, who knows what good teams means, has been calling about Zach LaVine. The Bulls probably just aren't that interested, but they probably should at least hear them out, I think, probably, right? I mean, again, no player on this team should be untouchable. As good as a season as Zach has had, he's been really good offensively. He's been a great scorer and all that. He's made a few strides defensively, still has some issues there, but I think we talked about this once before. I just don't know what kind of good value you can get back for Zach LaVine, because I feel like teams in the league probably don't view him as highly as the Bulls do. There was an SI article, basically a guy like a Mavs, one of the SI bloggers did a Mavs article talking about the Mavs going after Zach LaVine, and his like the offer he came up with was like, it was like a second round draft pick, Courtney Lee's expiring contract, and a Mavs young guy. And like none of the Mavs young guys are like that impressive. Like that is a horrible offer for Zach LaVine. And I feel like that just kind of speaks to like what people and maybe teams around the league think for him. Like I mentioned the Sixers again. Like I feel like Zach LaVine would be great on the Sixers, but who are the Sixers trading? Like you're not getting Ben Simmons back, obviously, unless you like put together like a massive trade package. I mean, maybe the Sixers are willing to just get absolutely crazy, but like, I mean, would you do something like Zach LaVine for Josh Richardson, Matisse Thybulle, and Zaire Smith? Somebody brought that to me on Twitter today. Josh Richardson, Thybulle, and Zaire Smith. Would the Bulls do that? Would the Sixers even do that? Like, I feel like the LaVine value is just like hard to gauge around the league right now.
Man, I'd be really tempted to do that if I were the Bulls, but like, I don't know. I still probably wouldn't do it. But the point is that, like,
it's hard. Yeah.
I don't want John Paxson being the guy who's making the decision on trading Zach LaVine. Like, he made the decision on trading Jimmy Butler, and it was, I would say, probably the worst move of his career, right? Butler scored 38 tonight, I think, in three quarters.
Yeah.
So, no, John Paxson, you're not allowed to make another trade involving your best player because you did it once, and you get an F for that one. So, if, you know, that is at least a somewhat interesting trade. I think you're right in wondering if Philly would even do it themselves. They love Thybulle. Josh Richardson's pretty solid for him. And you wonder what that team would look like and how Zach would have to dial back his scoring to play within a team structure like that. But yeah, I just don't think that it's realistic that the Bulls would deal LaVine at the deadline, though I do agree they should be listening.
Yeah, I totally agree. They should be listening. It would have to be like a really massive trade. I just can't see them shaking things up like that. Especially again with the All-Star game in Chicago. Are they really going to trade him before he like participates in whatever 3-point contest in Chicago? Like, it would have to be a deal that brings them back legit star. And that deal is just not on the table based on all the rumors out there. Like, and who's actually available right now? Like, it's just not happening. And I would probably say the same thing about Lauri Markkanen as well. Like, his value is he's hurt. His value is probably at maybe an all-time low at this point. Like, obviously, maybe teams could probably think that they can use him better, that they can get more out of him. But, I mean, this is year three, and, I mean, he'll be going into the final years of his rookie deal. He's got an extension coming up. So, like, and you're selling him at a low point. Like, I feel like you wouldn't be able to get back the value you would want for him either. So it's just like, I feel like a trade doesn't make much sense either, right?
Yeah. I'm with you on there again.
it's just hard to see the Bulls. Like, obviously, again, like you mentioned, it's quiet on the Bulls front, but they're often very quiet. They made the Otto Porter trade out of nowhere, but it just feels like if it's not something small, that's like Thad Young or Denzel or something. Like, I just don't see like any big moves out there. Like, I know, like, there was some chatter kind of on Twitter, like, nothing legitimate here, but like, oh, should the Bulls go after, like, D'Angelo Russell? Like, there was some, I think, phony account pushing that, but then there's other people just kind of talking about it. Just fun to talk about the kind of stuff, but, like, I mean, that would be kind of interesting. We talked about the Bulls going after Russell in the offseason, and, like, the Russell-Levine backcourt would be atrocious defensively, would get buckets and be a lot of fun, but, like, and I brought up, well, like, maybe you can trade, like, Otto Porter and a draft, you're like the Bulls draft pick this year. Like, would you do that? Like, I don't, the Warriors are up. They're looking to cut salary. They're hard capped, so they really can't take any salary in. They are supposedly talking with the Timberwolves, who really want Russell. So if the Bulls, for some reason, wanted to get on these D'Angelo Russell and trade talks, like Otto Porter Jr. and like a top three protected for this year or even unprotected, like with this draft being questionable at the top, maybe you'd rather take D'Angelo Russell than one of these young guys. Probably not. Would you do that? If it was Otto Porter Jr. and your 2020 pick for D'Angelo Russell, would you do that?
I would want a top pick in 2021. So if I thought that I could get the Timberwolves to give me their 2021 pick for Russell, like, maybe I would do that. But no, like, I don't think the Bulls should be trading a top three protected draft pick to get D'Angelo Russell. I think that, you know, perhaps you could re-explore a deal with Otto going to the Warriors in the offseason. I don't really know what would be coming back in that, but it would just be, it'd be too much, I think, to trade a protected draft pick this year.
Yeah, I mean, even with the, yeah, it'd be tough. Like, I mean, Russell, like I said, Russell is obviously a good player, but also flawed. Again, that'd be a very fun but flawed backcourt. Like, I don't know if you're actually building towards any, like, legitimate kind of sustainable winning there with, if you're back. I mean, I guess you would then go trade LaVine for something else if you really wanted to, but I mean, LaVine might be better than Russell at this point. I don't know. They're both, again, both fun offensive players, but flawed. Russell doesn't really get to the line. He doesn't score that well in the paint. Just kind of chucks threes a lot. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was at least maybe a fun and interesting conversation. I feel like Porter would be, if he could stay healthy, would be absolutely perfect for the Warriors as their starting three with Steph, Clay, Draymond, Otto Porter, and then I guess they would give up the draft pick, maybe, I don't know. But then if they can find a good center, the Warriors might go, then they'd be right up back up there and possible title contender next year. But obviously, again, I don't think that's gonna happen. It was just kind of some fun stuff I saw on Twitter today to talk about. But yeah, again, there's really not that much else out there Bulls related. We will see what they will do. Again, the trade deadline is coming up on Thursday. Ricky, do you have any final thoughts here about the Bulls trade deadline this season? Anything on the Jim Boyle and goofiness? Anything? Any final thoughts here?
I got no final thoughts, Jason. Let's just get the season over with. Can I sim to the end? I'm like totally checked out at this point. It feels bad to say. I'm still watching some of the games, no doubt. Following the team. We're going to be with you the rest of the way for this season. But, geez, man, this thing has been such a bummer to track and to watch all year long. I wish we could just get to the off season.
I know. And we bought in hard. I wouldn't say hard. You were buying in the playoff buzz. Yeah. I was close. We kind of bought into Boylan too. And now it just turned into like last year was worse. This year is, I mean, you could argue maybe this year is worse because the expectations were higher. I guess my expectations were semi-high last year, and for the season to turn into what it did last year was a joke. Like, I guess the biggest bummer, especially with All-Star Week coming up and the Bulls really having only Zach during this three-point contest, is just, it's kind of like how irrelevant they are in the whole just conversation. We've talked about this like ad nauseum at times, just like All-Star Weekend's coming into Chicago. The Bulls have like no representation. There's no buzzer on the team at all. They're a huge disappointment. Basically, people just laugh at Jim Boylan. That's like the extent of the conversation around the Bulls. And it's just a bummer to talk about it. It's just, it's brutal. Like, again, the Bulls aren't the worst team out there. Like, they've done a decent job beating other awful teams. And like, we look at like teams like the Timberwolves, who are absolutely atrocious, and like obviously the Knicks and Cavs are a hot mess. But like, the Bulls aren't that far behind. And just for where they are, just this with this market and with this franchise and with the brand, just to be just so irrelevant is just so tough. And it's just so obvious when we're like following games, watching games, and on Twitter, they're just like, no one cares. No one really talks about them. When you like go into like Twitter replies, like the Bulls Twitter account, just like everybody laughing at them and saying like, who cares about the Bulls? It sucks, man. It's brutal. And it kind of feels that way at this trade deadline too. Just like, it almost just like, who cares? Like, trade deadline is always supposed to be super fun. Maybe stuff happens. And I feel like just like nobody cares with the Bulls. And there's like, there's really no rumors to talk about. There's like no buzz at all. And it's a bummer. Like you said, it's just a total Bulls bummer. If you're done, we are definitely done here. So this has been Cash Considerations, Chicago Bulls podcast, with your 2020 Bulls trade deadline preview. As always, shout out to Blue Wire. And again, shout out to our new sponsor, Bet Online. Please go check out betonline.ag for all your betting needs. Obviously, March Madness will be coming up in the next month or two. That's always a lot of fun. Go please check out all our great Blue Wire pods across the network. We got tons of basketball. We got football. We got tons of other pods out there. A lot of great pods to listen to. Follow our Twitter account at Blue Wire Pods. For us at Cash Considerations, please rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Play. All those places. Please give us those 5-star reviews. Or if you think we're awful, tell us why we're awful. We'll try to get better. So this has been Jason and Ricky. It's been Cash Considerations, Chicago Bulls Podcast. Happy trade deadline, everybody. We will talk to you next time, probably hopefully right after the trade deadline. We'll see if the Bulls made a move. Have a good one.